Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
And welcome to the inaugural show of the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. You've heard Paul for years here on Relevant Radio, and I'm new to Relevant Radio, and I'm just so excited about this Rediscover Hour.
So tell me a little bit about you then, Corey.
All right, Paul. Well, I'm married to a wonderful man, Dan, and I am a mother to three beautiful children. I'm going to be making it four in August, praise be to God.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I am from Austin, Texas, and moved up here about 8 years ago, and now call Minnesota my home.
Excellent. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Are you enjoying the winter?
Not now. It's getting a little old for me
right now.
It
gets old real quick.
This is the hardest part for me, the spring. And also, a little tidbit, I am a convert.
Well, so am I.
Oh, great. We have that in common. I converted before I got married just about 6 years ago. And Paul, I've been on this fabulous spiritual journey, one that has been really catapulted with this whole Rediscover initiative. And I have to give credit to my father-in-law, who got me to one of the very first Rediscover meetings, kind of going in his place. And it was truly, truly the Holy Spirit at work. It hit me right when I was looking for ways to get more involved in the church. And this whole initiative and really this whole group of people acted like a catalyst of sorts in taking my faith to the next level.
Holy Spirit sometimes uses a 2x4.
Right. Bang. There it was. And I'm just proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to talk about the initiative and be here every Friday morning with you.
Well, let's take a quick look at what's coming up today on the Rediscover Hour. We're excited to visit with Father Peter Laird a little bit later on about his talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speakers Series, Rediscover Meaning, Finding God's Purpose for My Life.
It is so exciting. Nearly 4,000 people turned out to hear Father Laird give his talks, and I was emceeing one of the talks at St. John Newman, and he is just such an amazing speaker. He is so captivating, funny, real, kind of just one of those people I would love to have to dinner and pick his brain about everything.
We'll also hear from some folks who attended one of those talks about how the talk impacted them.
And we'll also talk with Sarah Mealy, Director of Communication for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, about the genesis for Rediscover, as in, why did they pick Rediscover, and why the colon? Y'all will hear it here first.
And we'll talk with Craig Berry, Social and New Media Manager for the Archdiocese, about the amazing Rediscover app. There is nothing quite like it in the world.
But we're going to start the show today with another voice who may be familiar to Relevant Radio listeners, Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit.
Joe has some fascinating information about stories in the Rediscover section of The Catholic Spirit. Joe, are you with me?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us a little bit about what's in this issue of The Catholic Spirit.
Well, this week we have, as we have for every issue of this year so far, we have a special four-page Rediscover pullout section. And in that section, we feature columns by Matthew Kelly. Folks will probably know him from the Rediscover Catholicism book they received at their parishes around Christmas time. And Christina Capecchi, who writes a young adult oriented Rediscover column for us. And then we also have a catechetical piece, all of these around a particular theme. And this week's paper, the theme is looking at Rediscover Jesus. And along with all of this, of course, we have a feature story that talks about that theme through the story of an individual. And this week we feature a man from Maple Lake, Minnesota, named Jason Benkowski, who talks about just how he came to know Jesus, have a personal relationship with Jesus through the Eucharist is how he developed that relationship. So that's the feature for this week. And, you know, we've been had other themes in past weeks here with Lent and Rediscover God and belonging and things like that. And we have a whole thematic schedule for the entire year. We'll be featuring this four-page section in the paper.
Excellent.
And then, of course, the big news has been the papal transition here as well. So, You know, we have an 8-page special wraparound section this week looking at back at Pope Benedict and his pontificate, and kind of looking ahead of what to expect from the conclave, and looking at some of the cardinals that might be getting some attention at that conclave as possible next popes as well. So that is a 8-page special wraparound, as well as some additional coverage within the paper, and a wonderful graphic from our news service that helps you kind of digest.
I've seen that. It's amazing.
It's a good visual digest of what's going to happen and what's going to be going on during that conclave as well. So that's something definitely people, it's a keepsake kind of pull-off section, but also some good information as those cardinals gather early next week to determine the date of when that conclave will begin. And of course, all eyes of the world will be back looking at Rome and the Vatican to see what happens there as well. So
there's just plenty going on right now, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And you know, looking back too at this wonderful Rediscover section, I think perhaps we have maybe a few clips, I think,
we do.
Some of the interviews that we have done. And I guess maybe the one I'd really like to kind of focus on is the one that had to do with Lent. These two women who became friends and decided one Lent. One of these women was born and raised Catholic. One was raised in an agnostic family, or atheistic family, as she called them. And they struck up a friendship during a creative writing class at college. They both found out they liked to write about God, and that was a bit different from what other folks in their class were interested in writing about. So they had this wonderful, struck up this wonderful friendship, and the woman who grew up as an agnostic atheist decided that she wanted to convert and asked the other to be her sponsor. And what they decided to do is, during the Lent 2005, when this happened, they decided to write each other a letter each day during Lent as a kind of Lenten discipline. They did this, and the clip that we are going to hear, we have the two women talking about. One talks about how the process of writing the letters really helped her to enter into the story of Lent for the first time in her life. And the other one talks a little bit, responding to her, talks a little bit about how that writing those letters was really a means to for her to connect with God, to connect more deeply with prayer, and how writing the letters really made that possible in other ways that writing maybe in other ways would not.
Let's go ahead and hear the clip then, Joe.
That's
okay.
Right. This is Jessica Messman Griffith and Amy Andrews, who compiled these letters into a book called Love and Salt. So this is from the interview that we did with them.
Amy uses the term entering the story at the very beginning of the book, with desire to enter the story. And I think through writing these letters and having this daily observance, I really entered that story of Lent for the first time. And I just never felt the joy of Easter the way that I did that, because I felt like I had really been through the exercise of Lent. And I think I discovered this through that Lent. Writing is really a means to God, a means to prayer, and it's hard for some people, not everybody, for some people to connect with that without writing. So I think we maybe could have kept private journals, but I think there was an extra thing that was added by having a correspondence. I think when you keep a journal, you are very much alone with your own thoughts. But when you're writing to another person, you have the sense of otherness. And I think it's that idea, wherever two or three are gathered, that it's more, there's a larger opening for God to come in when you're bringing another person into it. So through our correspondence, we began to really feel the presence of Christ in a way I don't think we would have had we been trying to do this in a more solitary fashion. And many times now, it's been a lot harder for us to keep the discipline going, although we try. I don't feel as deeply connected to Lent unless I'm doing this. So we're going to make an effort again this year to do a letter a day.
And we had talked with them a little bit after that, and they are doing that Lenten discipline again this Lent. So, and anybody who gets a chance maybe to read that story or to actually pick up that book, Love and Salt, you'll see that the letters are really deal with some deep topics, some probing questions about joys and sorrows and anxieties and frustrations of life, and how these women have dealt with all that through the eyes of faith and with the support of one another. So,
have about a minute left, Joe.
Yes, and then also in this week's paper, I would just point to a story about Father Michael Cregan, who's the pastor of St. Joseph and West St. Paul, who was sworn in as a chaplain for the Minnesota Army National Guard yesterday. So congratulations to him. There's a story about this, and it's just such an important thing because there's just such a shortage of Catholic chaplains in our military in general. And he's only one of two Catholic chaplains ministering to the 11,000 service men and women here in Minnesota in the Army National Guard. So it's just a great story.
Great ministry.
Archbishop Neistat is letting him do this. He feels called to this, and he's going to be providing a great service to our men and women in uniform who need the spiritual sustenance that a chaplain can bring like that.
All in the current edition of the Catholic Spirit. What's the issue date, Joe?
February 28th.
Excellent. Should be on your doorstep or on your coffee table by now. Thanks for visiting with us, Joe. We'll see you again next week.
Yep, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Well, coming up later today on the Rediscover Hour, how did Rediscover get chosen as the theme for our local evangelization and catechesis initiative?
And we'll talk with Sarah Mealy, Director of Communications for the Archdiocese, a.k.a. the woman behind the colon, to get the reasoning behind Rediscover.
Also coming up, Father Peter Laird and the talk he gave to huge crowds in February, Rediscover Meaning, Finding God's Purpose in My Life.
Plus, we'll hear from a few local Catholics who attended that first 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series talk.
All this and a lot more coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
This is a great time of year to get organized for the busy months ahead. Part of getting organized should be preparing a simple will and trust. I'm attorney Michelle McDonald, and I want the best for my clients. But frankly, many don't understand the perils and delays of probate court and how a simple will and trust could help you and your family. At the McDonald Law Firm, we make estate plans, elder and family law mediations easy to understand. We'll help your family avoid court altogether. Feel secure in protecting the many areas of your family's legal needs. And the best part is, it's a free consultation.
Save your family thousands of dollars and protect them from the delays of probate and other family law issues. Call attorney Michelle McDonald at 651-222-4400. Michelle McDonald and her clients founded the Family Innocence Project, a nonprofit foundation. Discover their mission by visiting familyinnocence.org.
You can also visit relevantradio.com. Keyword law.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. We were just perusing the news for stories about the new evangelization, and here's something I just found. I'm sure you all have all heard of Father Robert Barron. He has an award-winning documentary called Catholicism, and it's been called the most important media project in the history of the Catholic Church in America. Now, they've released the preview clip for the second part of the series entitled Catholicism, the New Evangelization. And I have to tell you, Paul, I have not seen the first one, but I bought all the DVDs.
I've seen parts of it.
It looks awesome.
It's amazing.
It's got music, art, and culture all intertwined with everything about the faith, and I'm looking forward to watching them.
He went all around the world filming this, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. It's the highest production value that you can possibly imagine.
Right.
It stands up to anything you see on network TV.
Absolutely. And we will have a clip of this second part, the preview for that, on our website, rediscover-faith.org, and I encourage everyone to go out there and check that out.
Well, there's a lot going on in our local church to support the new evangelization right now.
Many parishes and ministry organizations have exciting programs to reach out to Catholics who want to go deeper in their faith, but might not know right where to begin.
And, of course, there is the Rediscover Initiative launched across the Archdiocese late last year. This morning, we're fortunate to have Sarah Mealy, Director of Communications for the Archdiocese, joining us to talk a bit about the genesis of the Rediscover name and look. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Paul and Corey. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Corey.
Well, why did the team of lay volunteers, clergy and staff, who make up the Rediscover team, choose that theme, Rediscover?
Oh, you know, that's such a great question. We get that a lot. And, you know, what's interesting, when we started this work, and it was begun over a year ago, this work was called the Archdiocesan Evangelization and Catechesis Initiative. And that doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, you know?
Not quite as easy.
Exactly. And shortly after I started in my job here at the Archdiocese as Director of Communications, I was asked to lead a small team of folks to come up with a little more memorable and meaningful name. And you know, our Vicar General, Father Laird, said, you know, you can recommend anything, but just don't call it Rediscover Catholicism, because that's Matthew Kelly's book. And, you know, the team and I, we looked at all kinds of options, 13 in total. But, you know, that word Rediscover just kept coming back to us because of, you know, who we're trying to reach through this work, Catholics who are not engaged in the full life of the Church. And we thought, you know, this is the word. You know, it's inviting. It's not too pushy. And it is, you know, it's really what we're doing. This is all about that invitation, that the words, you know, it really means there's something beautiful here that's worth finding again.
Come back is what I think.
Yeah, come back home, you know. Rediscover. It's as we talk about it in some of our materials. There is a path to these things that are written on the human heart, these longings, and they, you know, rediscover, you know, that beauty again. So we brought all these options back that we explored in our recommendation, you know, for Rediscover to this committee that's overseeing the work, and it was agreed. Rediscover is exactly what we're inviting people to do.
So tell me, why the colon? If you look at it, it's Rediscover and a colon.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, that is kind of unique. That's kind of a fun story. You know, after we settled on the name, we needed to start figuring out then what it would look like, the look of the work, the photography, the verbiage that we would use to describe what this is, all of that. And so one of our great volunteers, a community volunteer who has extensive experience in creative and branding and marketing, and I just were developing the creative together, creative meaning the look and the feel. And we said, okay, you know, the word is an active verb, rediscover, but it begs the question, rediscover what?
What, right. The colon kind of pauses, and what's next?
So we thought, well, let's add the colon, you know, make it part of the brand, if you will, of Rediscover. And that, you know, all of a sudden opened up all these possibilities. We said, wow, you know, this is Catholicism, its richness, its depth. It's so hard to deplete. You know, there will almost be a nearly endless list of things that we can invite folks to explore and look at again that will come, you know, to the right of that colon. So the colon stuck, and people really responded to it positively. And, you know, it's kind of the equivalent of a question mark in many ways. It's something has to come after it to answer the question, rediscover what?
Right. And do you think people are really recognizing the Rediscover logo and look? And does it have, broad brand recognition already?
We just launched everything publicly late last year, so we're still pretty new. However, we are definitely hearing that, and it's neat to hear people talking about it and recognizing the name and the look. And what I love is when we receive emails, and we're getting a ton of great feedback and positive reinforcement via email, that when people include the word and then they put the colon, you know, in the email, just to the right of the word there in the middle of a sentence, and I think, wow, it's sticking.
It's all one thing now. It's not just a word. It's a word and a colon.
Exactly.
Well, why is a look and a feel important for an initiative like this?
Oh, well, you know, as I said, it was originally called the Archdiocesan Evangelization Catechesis Initiative. You know,
yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. And the reality is, you know, people are so busy, and I think it's just hard to kind of process all the information that's thrown at us. So doing something that really creates, if you will, a brand, sort of a look and a feel to something, makes it more memorable. And it's just more likely that people will be curious and excited about what's involved with it, and what is this thing? Especially in our app, I think you may be talking with Craig Berry from our group later on about the app.
A little bit later, yeah.
Yeah, we shortened it up, right? You know, our colon for our app, and that definitely creates a lot of curiosity. And it's an important element to have just to engage people.
How are the website hits doing?
Wow. Well, Craig, you know, Craig could certainly talk about that too.
Sure.
We are so excited. We've had, you know, we've only had the website up now for 2 months, really, and you know, we've had you know, over 10,000 visitors to our site just in this last 30 days. It's amazing.
Sarah Maley, Director of Communications for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, thanks for joining us.
Oh, Paul and Corey, thanks so much, and thanks for all you're doing for Rediscover.
And you can find out more about Rediscover by going to rediscover-faith.org.
And check out the kiosk at your parish for a Rediscover brochure and other resources, including a card with a QR code for easy, free Rediscover app download, plus a variety of CDs from Matthew Kelly, only while supplies last.
Well, now it's time to try something a little bit different that we're calling the invitation situation.
Now, we all have someone in our lives we wish we could bring back to the church, someone who is or was Catholic, but just kind of drifted away over time.
Well, it's hard to know what to say to make a warm and welcoming invitation and what to expect in response. Bishop Lee Pichet will walk us through today's invitation situation.
Hello, I'm Bishop Lee Pichet, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Our weekly invitation situation on the Rediscover Hour is all about sharing ideas and examples of how to call others into communion with Jesus through His church. Little seeds we plant to help someone along the path. This person could be a family member who has drifted away from the church. Perhaps a neighbor who doesn't practice any religion but is seeking answers to life's big questions. Or maybe a coworker who seems unhappy or in need of something beautiful and positive in his or her life. As Christians, we are called to invite others to a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. Our goal should never be instant conversion, but planting little seeds of loving and joyful invitation. When we do, the Holy Spirit takes those seeds and brings them to fruition. Let's listen in on today's invitation situation. Today's situation is a very common one. We all have family members who have drifted away from the church. In today's invitation situation, Susan will invite her brother, John, who fell away from the church in college, to attend Mass with her family, including going early to confession. John isn't hostile to the faith, he just seems uncomfortable with anything he thinks is too religious. Let's first hear how this invitation situation might not go so well.
John, just come with us. I don't understand how you were brought up in the same family as I was and raised in our Catholic faith and not see the faith as exactly what is missing in your life. Come with us and see.
Susan, the church just doesn't make sense to me. There are too many rules and regulations. I'm spiritual, but on my own terms, not the church's. I'll meet you for brunch after Mass.
Whoa, that's not how Susan wanted that conversation to go. When Jesus Christ and our faith are the center of our lives, it can be very hard to see how anyone can live any other way. But we have to remember, we are all at different places on our faith journey, and we each have to make this journey for ourselves. Pushing someone or laying a guilt trip on someone won't help. Let's try this again, with more invitation and less exasperation.
John, would you like to join us for Mass this weekend? We'd really like to have you with us as a family. And you'll find our parish very warm and welcoming. No pressure. We'd just like you to join us.
Susan, you know how I feel about the church. I'm not angry or anything. There's just no connection for me. But I know it's important for you and your family. So sure, I'll come. But I'll hold you to that no pressure part.
People like to be invited and feel that they are important to others, that they belong. Susan made the invitation with recognition of where John is at in his faith journey and let him know that she wouldn't try to push him. At the same time, she let him know how important he is to her and how much his involvement in the faith would mean to her. Now Susan just has to be patient and let the seed grow. She needs patience and a lot of prayer. All of us who have been blessed to be given the eyes to see and the ears to hear have to remember where we ourselves once were, that we were not always where we are today with our faith. We need to pray for patience and humility and charity of heart when we are inviting others to discover or rediscover the Catholic faith. Thanks for listening to today's invitation situation.
Well, isn't that true? And Bishop Pichet said we need to pray for patience and humility and charity of heart when we're inviting others to discover or rediscover the Catholic faith.
Right, and that patient's heart can be hard. For me, too, it's such a personal decision for somebody, and you want it for them, but it's something they have to choose. And you have to use a lot of tact when asking them.
It's so tempting to say, don't you see?
Don't you see it, right?
It's
how
right
can you miss this?
In front of you.
Right. It is. And but you don't want to sound, you know, holier than thou, and
exactly.
And you have to be welcoming and warm without being annoying, frankly.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we have an in-depth conversation with Father Peter Laird about the subject of his speaker's series talk, Rediscover Meaning.
I heard Father Laird give his talk in person to a capacity crowd at St. John Newman in Eagan, and his dissection of the levels of happiness, it really hit home for me, and you will not want to miss this interview.
Oh, plus, the Rediscover app went live this week, and already more than 1,000 people have downloaded this amazing tool to help grow your faith life. We'll talk with one of the people instrumental in bringing this app to life, coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
Hennepin Theater Trust presents the latest chapter in the hilarious hit series Late Night Catechism, featuring Sisters Easter Catechism, Will My Bunny Go to Heaven? At the New Century Theater at City Center, now through March 31st. Come play Sisters Easter Quiz Game and win yourself some peeps in what the New York Times calls interactive theater at its best. So bring the whole family, don your bonnet, and join Sister for this new seasonal treat. For tickets, call Ticketmaster 800-982-2787 or visit hennepintheatertrust.org. Sister says so.
For almost 10 years, I've been a lineman for the power company. I know that service is important. That's why I also serve in the Coast Guard Reserve. Our crews respond to rising floodwaters in the Midwest, oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico, and disasters like the Haiti earthquake. The Coast Guard Reserve is a challenge I gladly take on because my country needs me.
If you were born ready, learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, a new show here on Relevant Radio dedicated to supporting the new evangelization. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And I'm excited to be Paul's co-host for the Rediscover Hour. And I'm excited about the topic of our next interview. Father Peter Laird, Vicar General for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, is joining us to talk about his talk that launched the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series in February. Hello, Father Laird.
Hello, Corey. Hello, Paul.
Father, tell us a little bit about Rediscover and Rediscover Meaning. What keeps us from knowing our meaning?
Paul, a simple answer would be sin, but it's a little bit more complicated than that in a way.
That's a good start, though.
By virtue, having been created in the image and likeness of God, John Paul would say, our vocation is to love. St. Teresa of Lisieux said that well before Pope John Paul II. But how easy it is for us to become self-focused and become the center of meaning. And that's because, classically speaking, we would say that sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will and turns us in on ourself and frustrates the relationships that will bring about fulfillment. And I think in the last 30 or 40 years, that has even become more difficult to discover meaning as relationships, family relationships, communal relationships have become more attenuated. And then the culture as a whole, as it pursues the basic level of meaning, pleasure, begins to confuse us about the deeper levels of meaning. So from the beginning, human experience is about a search for meaning, and yet, unless we have a revelation, unless there's someone who points us to something greater, it's very easy for us to get stuck, Paul, very easy for us to get stuck, Corey, at a very simple understanding of meaning, which is I exist for myself and to please myself today.
Right. Okay, so then what can we do as individuals to ensure that we are focused on what is actually meaningful?
It's a great question, and you know, one of the things that I think is a hard thing for us is stepping out of what I like to call the current of now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the busyness that surrounds us all the time, which is we tend to make short-sighted decisions rather than long-term decisions. And so one of the things that we can do, so much at the heart of our own relationship with Christ, is to renew each day our relationship with Christ. And that's what we call prayer, taking a little bit of time, a little bit of silence, a little bit of opportunity to intentionally come before the Lord and to remember that we are loved and that our vocation is to love, and to understand it, to find there our meaning, as well as the things that are impediments to my meaning. So one thing, Corey, I'd say even for moms at home, like yourself, to take a few minutes every day to pray, to reflect, and to bring my heart to Christ.
Right, and slow down.
Exactly. You know, and part of that, I would say as well, is how we model that for our children, how we model that for our friends. You know, there's. I was recently talking to someone who's in their 30s, and when they go out with friends now, what they've taken to do is taking all of their cell phones and putting it in the middle of the table so that no one will pick up the cell phone.
Right?
So that there can be a communion, just a human communion.
You can actually talk.
Exactly.
Any hands ever get slapped?
I don't know if there were their hands slapped, but, you know, it might be a good thing, because those constant temptations for us are ways in which we go back to living in the current of now rather than in the real depths that will foster meaning in our life.
Right.
So why do we let ourselves get so distracted by things that really don't have any ultimate meaning for our life?
You know, I think the main reason why we get distracted is because we want to be happy. Aristotle said this, St. Thomas Aquinas affirmed this, and if you really think about our own experience, it's true. Everything we do because we want to be happy. The problem is there are often narratives about happiness or understandings of happiness that aren't complete. And so on the most basic level, the human person is immediately gratified by physical things.
Right.
So it's very easy for us in a frenetic world, in a world in which the current of now is constantly washing over us, to just live moment by moment by moment, looking for pleasure and trying to avoid pain. And while that might be fulfilling, you know, buying a new handbag or a new set of golf clubs or...
It's temporary.
Exactly. It's temporary. It's temporary in our life, and it can never be the source then of our fulfillment. But it's understandable. So this is why we can't get upset, or we shouldn't get upset, when we see people around us making choices that presume that they'll be happy by things. It's natural that they find happiness in things. It's just that they can never be happy if they think that they'll find happiness in things.
Well, we also get upset with ourselves when we do that.
Well, you're exactly right. And this goes back to that question of sin in our life, right? Original sin, our inheritance by virtue of our birthright, that we make decisions out of order. So I can put things ahead of people. I can make a thing more important than my spouse or more important than my children or more important than the homeless person I pass on the street. And that can be a tremendous manner in which I am ultimately bringing about my own unfulfillment.
It's important not to beat ourselves up too much, though, isn't it?
Well, I would agree.
I mean, there's a remedy for this. It's called the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
well said. And an analogous to that is just that human interaction where we ask forgiveness from our loved ones. So you're exactly right. God, knowing the human heart, loving us as his sons and daughters, provides for us in the sacramental economy for a beautiful sacrament called the Sacrament of Reconciliation, which renews within us the baptismal life, the life of Christ, that orients us in love, to love God above all things and to love all things in God, which is the way in which we will find happiness. So you're quite right, Paul. A regular reception of the Sacrament of Penance is a great way to foster deeper meaning in my life because it will help me prioritize. In the same way, being humble enough to ask my spouse or even my child when I'm impatient with them for forgiveness is a beautiful way for me to foster meaning in my life.
I can relate to that. And so you talk about these levels of happiness. What are those levels? Can you describe those for us?
Sure. You know, and there's been a lot of thought on this that really goes back 2,000 years, and there's been a number of
of authors and others who have articulated them. So let me just generalize. First, you know, level one happiness, which is happiness that we find in things. I happen to love Italian food, and having a great carbonara, spaghetti carbonara, gives me pleasure, and it's fulfilling, and it's fantastic. But it's short-sighted and diminishing in the sense that I'm only happy while I'm actually eating the carbonara. And the other problem with that is, of course, is it's not something that can necessarily be shared. So happiness level one is the happiness we find in things, food. For women, I don't know, but
handbags.
There you go.
I'll reuse that one.
Or other sorts of things.
Talk about temporary.
Right.
It might be the idea that I need a bigger house, you know, or a better address. All of these things are happiness level one things. Happiness level two is a higher experience of happiness, but still, like happiness one, it's insufficient. And happiness level two is the happiness that comes to us from, let's call it, comparative advantage. That I'm better at this than you.
Right.
And in a way, that's a good thing, because I'm discovering that I have a talent at something, that I'm special at something, that I'm better at math than you, or I'm better at hockey than you, or I'm better at cooking than you. And yet, this also is not the source of our full happiness, because it's not something that can necessarily be shared. There's a competitive aspect of that comparative advantage. But secondly, the challenge is that I could actually find my value or worth in being better than somebody. And that is ultimately, I think, one of the great lies that is spoken to us, that I'm only lovable if I'm better at something than somebody else.
Well, and there's a flip side to that, too, which is very destructive.
Well, and don't you think in today's world with Facebook and everything, you're so involved in everybody else's lives and what they have or what they're doing, and it's hard not to have that comparative thing going on, that sense of if this person is better than me, because you know so much about everybody else.
Corey, that's a great point. And basically what we know about people are the superficial things,
right,
things and their advantages. And that feeds into a great fear in our life. Again, it traces itself back all the way to the fall, which is that, oh my gosh, if I don't have this, or if I don't focus on pleasurable things, I won't be happy.
Or I'm not good enough, yeah.
Exactly. And that is it's a great lie, and it's a very effective lie in our life. And it goes back also to that point that you asked at the beginning, Corey, is if we're not taking time every day to enter into the love of God, I will live my day not from the love of God, but I will live my day from what I call the default, which is my inheritance of original sin, which will lead me to find happiness in level one or level two.
Right.
Which brings us to three. And, you know, level three happiness is friendship, or I would summarize it as friendship, which is experiencing in our spouse, in our best friend, a relationship in which I'm accepted and known. And I begin to let my guard down. And have you either had the experience of being with people, time flies by, you had the best conversation, and you realize, oh my gosh, where did the time go?
Absolutely.
You know, that's that aspect of friendship, and it's a communion that anticipates the communion with which and for which we're created, a communion that lasts forever. And that's why happiness three, as beautiful as it is and as profound as it is, cannot be the fulfillment for which we've been created, which is for human relationships, because they end. A loved one dies, or a best friend moves away, and even though we're able, with true friends, to pick up right where we left off when we see them again, the fact that I can't share that everlasting communion with them points us to the fourth level of happiness, which is communion with God. And that is, having been created in the image of likeness of God, the only place in which we're going to find true fulfillment. So here's the rub, or here's the dilemma. We learn and we live by going from things to advantage to friends, and sometimes we never get to God. But the way we're going to live in terms of true fulfillment is first by building everything on a relationship with God, bringing that into our friendships, the ways we assert our advantage, and then finally the way in which we interact with things.
Well, how does when we encounter that love and accept it, how does it change us?
You know, Paul, I'd say, first of all, it begins a process of transformative change that will last our whole life. So there's not ever going to be a point in which surrendering to the love of God is going to be, you might say, complete until we see God face to face. So in this life, and during the season of Lent, that's what conversion is all about, constantly returning to the love of God. But something begins in our life that becomes the main antidote, I think, to this current of now, which is I can find my peace and my security not in the freneticism of each moment, but in a deep communion with God and in His love. Mother Teresa would say to her sisters, which I think is so beautiful and profound, you don't have to be different for God to love you. You just have to accept the gift of God's love. And that's so true. If we begin every day to accept the gift of God's love, the process of transformation of what we call classically in the spiritual life, holiness of life, wholeness of life, will begin to take root in us.
It seems so simple, just accepting that love and knowing that God is constant. It seems like the natural way or place to start. However, everybody has it backwards, a lot of people.
You know, you're exactly right. And I have to tell you, sometimes I struggle with that every day. You know, if I miss a time of prayer or if I'm not constantly faithful to trying to seek God's will, which is to love Him of all things and to love everything in Him, then it's easy for me to get out of joint as well. But the beautiful gift that's before us is if I every day come to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my heart. It's filled with hopes and it's filled with sorrows. It's filled with successes and it's filled with failures. But I know you love me through and through. Let me respond today out of that love rather than out of my failures or out of my fears or some other movement of my heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what can people learn from this? What do you suggest our listeners do to find their meaning and to help others in their lives who have drifted away from the church find their true meaning?
Great question. You know, I'd say just first and foremost, I have to come into the presence of God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd encourage them to start with 10 minutes, you know, and to fundamentally make that surrender of their life every day to Jesus, to the Lord. There's a great saint, Charles de Foucault, who wrote a beautiful prayer, and at the end of that first talk in the speaker series,
right,
I shared that prayer with those who were present, and it's Charles de Foucault's prayer of abandonment. And that would be a great way every day to surrender one's life to God and to try to live intentionally from that. Just by doing that, I will become an invitation. I heard Bishop Pichet's invitation, and it was beautiful because a transformed life, think of Mother Teresa, think of John Paul II, think of a grandma who was just totally giving. We wanted to be in their presence, don't we, when we experience people who live true meaning?
Authentic lives.
Exactly. And so that's the very first thing that I can do in terms of being an evangelist or reaching out to other people is to allow my own life to be more and more whole in its relationship with God. So first in prayer and an active sacramental life, and then secondly, just meeting people where they're at. I think that's so important. Not necessarily asking them to come to where I'm at, but to meet people where they're at.
And that's difficult for us sometimes, isn't it?
Well, I think it is because we want things to be done according to our timeline.
We want them to be where we are.
That's right. And again, part of that, Paul, is a good thing. We've experienced something that's beautiful, that's transformative in our life, and we want everybody else to experience that. But the beautiful humility of God is something that we need to imitate, which is to always invite, always to love, but to allow another person in their own freedom to make a choice.
Accept where they are.
Exactly. And I guarantee you that that willingness to live intentionally, the love of God, will become an attraction to other people who right now are inactive in their life. Because, as we said earlier, Paul and Corey, we can never find happiness in things or in advantages.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that there's something encouraging that came up here. It gives me some comfort to know that the Vicar General of the Archdiocese occasionally misses prayer times.
Well, Paul, don't tell the Archbishop that. But,
I'll bet he does sometimes, too.
Well, you know, I think there is a challenge in that. But here's the thing. You know, there was a great story in the Fathers of the Church. You know, if monks were at prayer and someone came knocking at the door in need of bread, should you leave prayer and go and make that act of charity? And the answer would be?
Yes, of course.
Right. So you're absolutely right. But here's the challenge, not to make those moments the norm. That is to say, our norm, our intentionality should be spending time in prayer every day.
And you can start small.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Absolutely.
And Lent's a great time to start, right?
It's a great time to start. It's one of the main ways in which we return our heart to God through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I would definitely say, and this is something that I think Rediscover is going to do, is we need to teach people how to pray. And so parents need to realize that, you know, you don't learn prayer by osmosis. You sometimes have to sit down with the people you love or with a friend and say, here's how I pray. And we know what those basic elements of prayer are, and to share them with those that we love.
Thank you so much, Father Peter Laird, Vicar General of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Paul and Corey. You're doing great work, and I look forward to listening as you go forward.
Thanks so much. And if you missed Father Laird's talk in person, you can still hear it and see it online. Visit rediscover-faith.org. Go to the bottom left corner of the page. Click on Content Archives.
A reminder that all speaker series talks are posted as audio and video files on rediscover-faith.org shortly after they are given, and a CD of all the talks will be distributed via the Rediscover kiosk at parishes beginning in April.
Well, we spoke with local Catholics who attended Father Laird's speaker series talk. We'll hear from them about what happiness level they're at now. You might be surprised at what they say.
Plus, there is nothing like it out there in cyberspace anywhere. The Rediscover app.
We'll talk with the local man who was instrumental in bringing the Rediscover app to a smartphone near you when we come back.
Are you looking for a first communion dress or veil for that special girl? This year, visit Holy Cross Books and Gifts for all of your first Holy Communion apparel and gifts. Holy Cross Books and Gifts offers a variety of quality First Communion dresses at excellent prices. You'll also find veils, ties, accessories, and gifts, including Bibles, missals, rosaries, wall crosses, photo albums, frames, and more. Our beautiful selection of jewelry includes cross pendants, medals, tie tacks, rosary bracelets, and much more. Discover great quality and save money when you shop at Holy Cross Books and Gifts. Grow in faith. Share a blessing. On the border of Apple Valley and Lakeville, Holy Cross Books and Gifts, 952-953-6330. Or on the web at holycrossinc.com, holycrossinc.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And we are really loving what our next guest is talking about, the one-of-a-kind Rediscover app. Craig, can you tell us about it?
Yes, Corey. About 6 months ago, we started working with Little iApps from South Bend, Illinois, known for making the popular Confession app. We asked them to create an app for us that was both functional and inspiring, and on February 18th, we launched it on the iPhone, and a few days later on the iPad and Android versions.
Craig Berry is the social and new media manager in the Office of Communications at the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Tell us about some of the features on this app, Craig.
Well, we've got over 400 short articles and videos on everything from God to the culture. We've got a large resource center for prayers, over 150 of them, from the Our Father to the Memorare, to even the Year of Faith prayers on there. We've also got a calendar of events around the Rediscover initiative, is also daily Mass readings and video reflections. You can also find parishes nearby you with the geolocation feature.
I love that. That is super cool.
Yes, you can find masses, but also you can find confession and adoration. Anywhere you are, just pull up the find feature.
Real quickly, how can we get it?
Rediscoverapp.com is the website you visit, and from there you can actually go to all the app store for iPhone and iPad, and the Android version is on the Google Marketplace.
Thank you, Craig. We'll hear from Craig Berry regularly here during the Digital Rediscover on the Rediscover Hour about everything from social media outreach to creating welcoming websites.
And again, we invite you to download the app. Just go to rediscoverapp.com. You can find that link and any links we mention on the Rediscover Hour on rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio at the top navigation menu.
Well, earlier we heard Father Laird talking about happiness and how everything we do because we want to be happy. But because of our human nature, we can make bad decisions about what leads to true happiness.
Yeah, that was one of the themes in Father Laird's talk in the Rediscover Faith Speaker Series. And after one of those talks, we caught up with some local Catholics in the audience and asked them, what happiness level are you driven by, and how is this demonstrated for good or bad in your life? And here's how some responded.
I'm Katie. I'm a parishioner at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. I would say number three, and I think as the Archdiocese handed out this book and I started looking into doing a book club, I found myself feeling, like even though giving myself to others is really rewarding in a lot of ways, sometimes you do feel like you have nothing left, and kind of looking for how to renew myself through God and through my faith.
Hi, my name is Miles, and I am from St. Teresa in Deephaven. Unfortunately, I'd say I'm at like the first level, or the thing happiness, the material happiness. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get away from that, and hopefully Lent will help with that.
Greg from Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Kind of all over the map. I know I go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 and back down all the time. But I think this is just a good encouragement to put those things back in the right order and to start fresh again.
I'm Colleen, and my parish is St. Wenceslaus in New Prague. For me, I'm kind of, everywhere. I think most of us have a hard time with, picking one certain step where we're at, investing our happiness in things or people. Other things like that. But I'm trying to be a number four. I'm trying to invest my life in God. And I think a biggest struggle for me is to find my happiness probably in things, just the distraction of day-to-day life, not even realizing that I'm putting my happiness in things, just, every day, there's something new that's, drawing your attention. And so, it's a big, big thing to, bring yourself back, center yourself. And realize, why you're here, There's nothing greater to do than to follow what God wants you to do.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ron from Our Lady of Grace Parish in Edina. It's interesting because Father kind of said the foundational part of happiness is God. And I think that's true, but it is a journey to that. It's not, for me, it hasn't been kind of this, lightning bolt kind of revelation. It's been a growth, and I think that is through daily prayer. And my prayer life has definitely become more regular, and daily prayer with the Magnificat is my kind of format. So I think my happiness is really truly getting more and more grounded in that kind of foundational piece of God. From that, then becomes your relationships with others, and so then I do think that that's kind of my direction, but it's extremely difficult because it's at such a deep level, and so I think adoration is where you kind of can settle yourself and actually find that peace where you say, yep, there's something here that is I can't find anywhere else. And so I think it's through prayer that you really get in touch with what that true foundational happiness is.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from local Catholics about a faith topic. Good to hear what others are thinking.
And we'd like to hear what you think of the show. You can reach us at the Rediscover Hour, all one word, at archspm.org, and that email address is also linked on rediscover-faith.org.
So, we'd like to take a minute to tell you about some upcoming events. You can find details on the webpage. First, Talk 3 in the four-part Rediscover Faith Speakers Series starts next week. Third talk is called Rediscover Strength, Overcoming Life's Challenges Through God's Grace. Now, we all face challenges such as relationships, jobs, health issues. Without God, such burdens can become unbearable. And if you know someone struggling, bring them to Rediscover Strength, Overcoming Life's Challenges Through God's Grace. The free talk is given by Father Andrew Cousins, and it's offered at three locations the first week of March.
Those three locations are St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. That's Monday, March 4th. On Tuesday, March 5th at St. John Newman in Eagan. And Thursday, March 7th at Our Lady of Grace in Edina.
Now, all those talks start at 7 o'clock. They run 90 minutes. And they include hospitality time. No registration is necessary. Well, coming up next Friday at 9 a.m. on the Rediscover Hour, we will talk with Father Bill Baer. He is always fun to visit with. We'll talk about the Men's Conference. This is an event that has really grown over the past several years. Last year, 2,000 men turned out. We'll find out what makes the day so special.
And we'll have an in-depth conversation with Father Michael Keating about the second talk in the 2013 Rediscover Faith Speaker Series. He'll walk us through the themes of Rediscover Belonging, Living in Communion with God. It was a fascinating talk. You don't want to miss our discussion with him next Friday.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about how they've been marking Lent this year. If you're looking for inspiration this Lent, you might find it in some of our fellow faithful. Join us next week on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.